Hello, everybody.
I'm really glad that we can finally get this out. It's been this episode 39, and it's been 100 days since we were outside.
We have not yet resorted to cannibalism. We continue believing in God and hoping
No,
for a better.
you're making this sound weird. We've just been in a bomb shelter for a while.
I
Yeah,
don't
I mean,
believe in God.
we have plenty of
Whatever.
food.
Yeah, if you guys believe in God, that's fine.
Yeah, do whatever you want, but we haven't
I
gotten nothing yet.
didn't mean to. It's episode 39 of Diplomacy Cast. My name is Eric Mead.
My name is
Can't remember, can you?
Nathan Barnes.
Yeah, that's it.
Yes,
That's
I
it.
knew it.
In this episode of Diplomacy Cast, it's not really an episode.
Yeah, it's a
Diplomacy
truncate.
Cast.
We recorded an episode.
So here's the thing.
Yeah, there's a thing.
We have a story to tell.
So back, why does it take a month to get an interview from, this is interesting, like, how do you pass a bill? It's like one of those Schoolhouse Rock
sausage
stories.
being made.
Yeah, the sausage. We're going to let you inside the sausage. And it's not that interesting.
No, it's really not. So the deal is, we recorded an episode, and then we interviewed the wonderful, inestimable Nate Cockrell,
yeah, we did.
Who gave a spectacular interview.
It was good.
As part of an episode that you will never hear.
Probably
but
not. Probably not.
You will hear the interview with Nate Cockrell
soon. Actually, a little bit later in this recording.
Yeah. Here's what happened. We're losing our editor.
Our
is
producer,
the short form.
Producer, editor.
Producer. David, longtime stalwart, despite not being a diplomacy player himself, is just getting too busy with school.
I will say, when we met David, he was becoming like a video, like a sound guy. He was going to do it, getting into this whole career of like editing sound.
That's right.
And like, we were going to be a great addition to his portfolio. And we've literally been on the air so long that he's switched careers. He's going into the medical field, I think radiology or something like that.
Yes.
Which great. I want to say, like, that's longevity right there. That's good. We're doing well.
Good for David and good for us. I mean, we'll miss him very much because he was awesome, and
yeah,
also
great.
Because I can't edit.
Right.
Edit
Which is why this one's
going to
sound
or
not great.
I'm not even going to try, to be honest. Basically, what you're listening to right this moment is like a little explanation as to why what's going to happen after this is not even, nobody's even trying.
Yeah. That would be because no one's even trying. That's why it sounds
that's
that
right.
way. Yeah.
We may have the services of David for another episode or so in the future.
Yeah, he said he was going to be up until what, April?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. April. That's a fortuitous.
Yeah, exactly. So he'll get us through April.
One last ride.
Yeah.
Yeah. But as for this one, the episode that we recorded to go with the Nate Cockrell interview is sort of, well, we weren't crazy about it anyway, and we don't have anybody to edit it.
Yeah.
But we did love the Nate Cockrell interview, and so we are here to tell you that Diplomacy Cast lives on.
Absolutely.
We
just got a thing on Facebook where someone's like, are you guys alive? Yes, we're alive. We're doing some, we're just going through a staff changeover.
Yeah.
And apparently, also, David's got some software issues, which is one
also
of the reasons
true.
He can't make his software work, and it's not backwards compatible. Some mumbo jumbo.
It's all good. We did a hot off the press segment that if you sent us an email, just pretend that we read yours and had a really engaging discussion
yeah,
about
we
it.
Did. We did have it was a good one. We might go back and read it those.
Probably not. We might, but we don't do that anyway.
Eric's very forward thinking. Like it's that's in the past.
That's in the past. We recorded
we
that.
We recorded it.
We
it's
super
done.
Love you, whoever you were that wrote us an email. Thanks for it. Maybe there will be a director's super hidden outtakes after our death. We will send the lost episode to our new producer, whoever he or she may be.
Well, that does bring us to the point, like, there is an opening here at Diplomacy mm-hmm. Cast. If you are a sound editor, if you're someone that likes to tinker around with the digital soundscape, please drop us a line, hit us up on Facebook. We offer nothing.
whatsoever.
At all, other than your name and lights on our website,
mm-hmm.
and the ability to edit out certain words that we're saying and replace them with things that you recorded.
That's true. I probably won't notice.
Yeah.
Like, you give it back. You give it back to me to post on the website. You're like, it's all done. I did everything you said. I'm probably not going to listen to every
probably
word of it. And if you're like, I think Russia and Turkey is a terrible alliance, I'll be like, oh, I didn't catch that.
Yeah.
You can totally change.
You can probably do that. So that's what we offer. But we offer being part of an enterprise that is doing its best to keep the game diplomacy alive and well.
Sure.
in the modern internet age.
Sure. And so, when we start charging $75 a pop for each episode of this, to our loyal listeners, you're getting a cut of that.
You're getting a cut of
that. Sweet money.
That is perspective, not money, which is better than just not money.
That's right. So anyway, but now, having said all of that, so there will be a lost episode 39 for all eternity. We're going to attempt to sort of reboot with maybe David and maybe new editing coming soon.
And we might revamp the format a little bit.
Right.
This is a nice opportunity to sort of like, with episode 40, to just sort of do something new, sort of shake the dust off, take a new angle, some other corporate buzzwords.
Yeah, right. Basically, what Nathan means is he still wants to change the name of Hot Off the Press,
well, we never agreed on a name, so that's still its working title.
Maybe this is your golden opportunity to get on in there.
So also, though, we want to let you know to expect some changes with episode 40. And to know why this particular episode sounds as good as it does.
Yeah. We solicited some kind of help from you guys, from the listenership, a couple of episodes back. I want to say 2 episodes ago. We didn't get a ton of feedback on sort of some new directions that we wanted to take the show. So maybe we'll just use this as another opportunity to say, hey, go back and listen to the one where we wanted to talk to lots of different people who were out there building the hobby and playing online and doing awesome things. Listen to that again, and if this happens to inspire you to be part of Diplomacy Cast 2.0 rebooted, the Revenge Electric Boogaloo.
That's not a thing. It's definitely not a thing.
Consider that as well. Shout out to us. and one other thing I wanted to mention this interview coming up, which is really awesome. And Nate, we're sorry it took so long.
Yeah,
and
absolutely.
We hope that you love it. We loved it. And that part we are saving out of this episode. The subject matter that we tried to talk about in the lost episode had to do with a little bit to do with ways of making diplomacy sort of watchable on the internet.
And there's different ideas, different perspectives. Like right now in Sweden, they're doing a whole GothCon is going to do a whole headset, 7 players, each with a headset, each with a microphone, a couple of cameras. So they're trying that out, which is one of the things we talked about.
This is something we are going to come back to in the future. For the next episode, I think I'm going to end up talking about a game I actually played online, believe it or not.
Yeah.
But just among friends, via using the Backstabber software and just over Spark, which is like a Google Hangout-like product that with Chris Martin kind of threw this together. And Gang, it was a murderer's row, this board. Chris Martin and Andy Bartoloni and Brian Sheldon and Joe Wheeler. Excuse me. My throat's awesome.
Definitely keep going on this. You sound great.
Thanks. Okay, so we'll come back to that in the future, but we asked Nate a thing or two about it.
Yeah, that's the context of the interview.
That's the context of the interview. All right, I said 5 minutes. We've gone 10. Anything else?
No, that's good. Guys, we're not going anywhere. Hold tight. No more episodes are on the way. Looking forward to a fresh new look. And if you want to help out, please be a part of this.
Yes. All of what he said. If you have any questions, any feedback, if this is the first episode you're ever listening to and you've never heard my standard boilerplate stuff, go listen to any different episode first, please. But having said that, if you have any questions or any feedback, facebook.com/diplomacycast. diplomacycast@gmail.com. You can subscribe to us on iTunes.
We also have a Twitter.
We have a, right. We soon to have tweets in it.
Yeah, no, but you could tweet at it.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
That's true. Somebody did that.
Yeah, it
was awesome. It was very exciting. Hey, I know my Twitter.
Yeah, I know. So all right, guys.
Yeah.
Enjoy.
Nate Cockrell, who is awesome, right after this. Oh, what am I saying right after this? I'm not putting any music in here. I'm editing this myself. Right after me going, yeah-ta-ta-ta-ta. Ready? Yeah-ta-ta-ta-ta. Joining us now.
Finally.
Finally, after all this time, we're so excited about this. It's Mr. from Greenfield, Ohio, Mr. Nate Cockrell, former DipCon champion, all-around great guy.
Yeah, I would say that's accurate so far.
A living human being for which we are all happy. Nate, welcome.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Hell yes.
We're really glad you can make it. I know the time zone makes it, this time zone differences make it a little challenging, but I think we'll have a good talk. We'll have a good talk about some of the stuff that we chatted about earlier.
How is Ohio not in Central?
I think you need to go back to fifth grade and look at that map.
Yeah.
And see where Ohio is.
Yeah, probably.
Doesn't it border Pennsylvania?
I'm an idiot.
It does,
doesn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Huh. Yeah. It's weird that that's not in Central.
I've only been there like five times. It's fine. I'm an idiot. Anyway, thanks for staying up late.
Yeah. So
I'm an insomniac.
Oh, good. Good. Well, then we won't feel guilty.
That helps. Yeah.
You know, we were chatting earlier in this episode about, you know, some ideas that people had, and we were wondering what your thoughts are on this. Trying to make different ways of making diplomacy, a game that requires seven people to all be in one physical place, a little bit more approachable in our sort of modern everybody kind of sits in their house and is in front of a computer all the time society. So people kind of floated Skype out there. You know, Eric and I got kind of excited about talking about body cams and, you know, I was like, the first person shooter kind of thing. And if you've heard of Twitch, I figured you did. There is a way that if you put a body cam on somebody, you give them a Twitch channel and you could just watch them and root for them. And anyway, so any thoughts on that?
I think it's maybe a good idea as long as everybody remembers that they're online. Yeah. The moment somebody forgets that they're online and they do something weird, then all the other guys got to suffer for it, you know?
Well, what do you mean what do you mean when he does something weird?
You know, like they walk around in their underwear, or, you know.
Yeah.
Mom gets out of the bathtub in the background. I don't know. Something like that.
It sounds like bad chat roulette experiences you've had.
Under the best of circumstances, I'm a threat to take off my pants during a diplomacy game. This would only encourage the natural tendencies I already have.
I think it works better than just straight online. You know, if you try to do it on, or just straight email, remember in the old days, I did a lot of email in college, and we had, you know, even though we had a GM, people still cheated.
Yeah?
What do you mean you mean like just talk to each other outside of the game?
Yeah, you know, call each other on the phone and crap. And,
yeah.
Yeah.
I'm actually fine with that for this setup. I would kind of want everybody to be able to talk to each other directly rather than it needing to be some kind of an anonymous thing. Like, I want the personalities to show through if we're going to try it. Okay, would you watch people play Diplomacy on Twitch? If we had the right, like, combination of technologies.
Let's just assume we have all the money to get enough body cameras and remote cameras.
Whether or not they're playing live or whether they're sitting at a desk and, like, remote video chatting with a bunch of different people. Would you watch it?
I think I could watch for 3 hours.
Yeah.
I don't know if I could watch it. I don't know if I could do a 10-hour game.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, I couldn't
get
do
to,
it.
Like, 05, and you're like, just call it draw.
Just go.
Yeah.
Well,
I wouldn't want it to be edited down to nothing. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? But
no, I'm saying live. But, that's the thing.
Yeah. Live and I wouldn't want it to be juiced up because, like, I've auditioned for a bunch of those type shows before. And it's all scripted. Reality is, you know, when you go to the audition, they try, like, me, because they always ask me, where are you from? I said, oh, I grew up on a farm. Oh, we bet you don't like people of different races. And so they're always trying to find something to make you more outrageous as a character. And mm-hmm. when I said, no, I get along with everybody, of course, I was shown the door.
They were like, thank you.
But, yeah, I almost got on a reality show with Brooke Hogan once. I got to the callbacks with the final four people, but the show never got produced. So.
Oh, man.
But I did get to a free night of drinking with Brooke Hogan.
I don't even know who Brooke Hogan is. Who's Brooke Hogan?
Hulk Hogan's daughter.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Nice.
That's all right.
Did the two of you jump off the top rope?
No, it was a nightclub, and there were, like, the four guys who were there for the callback, and she was there, and they had, like, I think there were, like, three or four bottles of vodka on the table, and she basically said hello and talked to us each for 5 minutes, and then she split.
That's awesome.
So we just sat around and drank the free vodka. Yeah.
That sounds like an actually pretty decent reality show. You just put a camera on that. Yeah, like that's
four guys that think they're going to be.
Well, I could have because, like, I walked in the club. As soon as I walked in the club, the bouncer was throwing a guy out, and the guy was literally puking as he was being thrown out by his collar.
I love when they do that.
It was horrible.
It was horrible as he giggles maniacally. It was the best thing about that night.
Yeah.
And so that's actually the other way that you could go with it is you could. And I don't know how much Nathan and I talked about this, but you could actually, like, do a super polished,
I think,
super edited down, like...
make it 3 hours instead of 10.
Or make it 1 hour, you know, and like, just touch on the moves and just try and make the entire thing, like, story-driven and do lots of, like, stop
and go,
the
like,
game.
What, 7 episodes a season or 21 episodes a season? Or?
I would try and do a single game as 2 episodes that were like an hour and a half each, and then leave it on a cliffhanger in the mid game. Is how I would probably try and do it. And I don't know.
Bring back the best 7 at the end of the season to play against each other.
Yeah.
There you go.
I mean, it depends on how you want to frame this. Do you want to frame this as a drama, as like a reality show drama where you're watching that, or do you want to frame it as like a sport? Where you're really rooting for a particular player.
Have you guys ever watched like those Will Wheaton and his friends play a game videos?
Yeah.
So what if it was like that? It just like this like super streamlined, like, this is how we had fun playing this game, and it teaches you about the game and also entertains you because there's entertaining people doing it.
Right, but that's an informational video. It's really hard to like
somewhere between that and I don't know.
Yeah, that's like the reason people watch that is because it's literally because they don't want to read the instructions.
Yeah.
So it's easier to have Will Wheaton kind of walk you through playing it.
Yeah, true.
I mean, if we want to, like, get people involved and if we want to, like, teach people, like, hey, how to play Diplomacy, I mean, we could do that once.
Yeah. I don't know. Well,
we could have one of the... We could have, like, one of the Brits, you know, like, be the voiceover guy. And,
like, I'd like to do it,
here
like...
Here we are now. Buffalo Bartoloni is getting ready to move his fleets.
I do, like a
Corkerel, you are... The weakest link.
Yeah.
I like it more like a horse race. You know how they'd always like, you know, just it's always a British guy who's like narrating how it goes. But did you guys ever watch that that TV show? It was the Dungeons and Dragons cartoon.
Oh God!
Did you ever watch that?
Oh, yeah.
And they had the dungeon master would just appear.
Yeah.
And just sort of like, oh, okay, that's how I would like to do this. Let's say the diplomacy show, and just have like the narrator just like pop out and just like say something and like, here's what's going on. And, like, do that sort of thing. And, like, what's happening? I really think that's the entertainment value right there.
As long as they don't have to be the Cavalier.
Oh, yeah. No one wants to be that guy. That guy sucked. He was the worst.
I don't know. The Dungeon Master himself sucked pretty bad.
Yeah, he was like terrible.
It was like Wallace Shawn from Princess Bride. Yeah. He was like this little balding guy.
And so the idea about doing these, the reason we're having this discussion, as we always are, is like, hey, was this a way to like sort of broaden our base of people that are playing Diplomacy, whether they're playing it online or whether they're
I think it would be a good way to also keep together like a group. You know, if you had a group that you played with and everybody got scattered, you know.
Right. That'd be a good way of doing it.
Yeah. Well, then, yeah.
And one of the other reasons we want to talk to you today, aside from bringing up 80s cartoons that weirdly we all remember with disturbing detail, is some of the other things you're doing to, you know, in, around in your area to build a hobby and reach out and.
Well, and before we touch on that, I want to talk a little more about Uni the Unicorn. On that, no.
Yeah, I could do a good impersonation. Vamos!
That's the one.
I've worked on that. I've worked on that for years.
All right, everybody. For those of you that are too young, you just Google it. You'll find it. Yeah. That is spot on.
That's really good.
Spot on.
No,
thank you.
Sorry, I didn't mean to.
Do can't do Vendor. I wish I could do Vendor, but it's Uni. I can do.
It's a long goal. I work on it every day. No, I was trying to get us to the point where you could talk about some of the stuff you want to chat about.
And yeah. Well, since my illness and recovery, I moved back to the farm and where I grew up, back in Greenfield, Ohio, which is an hour south of Columbus, an hour north of Cincinnati, and an hour east of Dayton. So in the middle of nowhere.
Yeah. Literally the middle. That's nice.
But it is where I first learned the game. When I was 15, there was a guy in my hometown. He's still here, Greg Stewart. And he was a big postal player back in the day. And he used to play postally with Don Del Grande, Larry Peary, and some other folk.
Oh, yeah?
Really?
Yeah, he played... He wrote, like, you know, I used to write little stories and zines. He wrote a story for years in a zine called The Desperate Man.
Uh-huh.
And when I was 15, his son was in my anatomy class. And I was one of those kids that was kind of like a chameleon. I played football. I was in show choir and stuff. But I had all this Dungeons & Dragons stuff.
Yeah.
And I didn't, there was no one to play with, you know. I just read the books and. His son, Ben, saw me reading it. He's like, hey, do you want to come over? My dad invented a game, and his dad had invented this miniature game called Gemstone. And for the course of hanging out with him, his dad taught us diplomacy one night, and his dad and I ran a AI all the way to the end, and I was hooked.
Oh, yeah.
But since being back here, you know, I was trying, I don't want to get out of, you know, out of practice and stuff. So I thought, I would try and get those guys back, but there was, you know, there was only about maybe five of us. But I finally plot a couple new guys, and we got one game in 2 weeks ago.
Yes,
and wow. I started. It was not the best game, but
it was a dominating game in Greenfield
with seven humans.
That's crazy. With
seven diplomacy players.
Yeah,
people can't get a game together in New York City.
True.
Yeah, that's true. I was dominating as Austria, and the guy who was playing Turkey had never played before, and I was kind of just, you know, making him my little puppet, and I'd known the guy since eighth grade, so I thought, you know, he's never going to do anything to me, and he killed Italy, and then he killed Russia, and we were racing through the line, and next thing I knew, he'd taken three dots from me in one turn.
Ooh, what? And you were like...
Yeah, so...
Why did I do this
again?
Yeah,
he burned the game. Yeah.
Well, that's how I'm nice to you. That's cool.
But then I wanted to teach some young folk, too, so I started a middle school club. They have a program at the McLean Middle School. My school is named after Edward Lee McLean. I don't know if you guys know this fun fact. He invented the padded horse collar.
Oh!
Apparently the horse collar... Yeah, it was invented in medieval times, but no one thought to put padding around it until like 1890. He became a millionaire overnight.
That's great. You know, I knew I heard that name before, but I couldn't quite place it to the padded horse collar.
Yeah,
guy.
No, you didn't know that.
Yeah,
of course I did.
He did
know
do
that.
Something pretty amazing though. He built our school. Yeah. It was the largest single grant to education up until Bill Gates made a huge donation to education.
In your because face, school, horse collar guy.
Yeah. Our school was the first school in Ohio with a swimming pool, and it has, copies from the Parthenon and marble stairs and all this artwork.
No way. That's so cool.
Art catalog, yeah. Like, you wouldn't believe the school was in this little small town when you drive through. School, it just celebrated its 100th anniversary a few months ago.
I love that.
It's a big deal.
Well, a happy anniversary to your school.
The
Eric keeps interrupting you. So you went. There's a program at the middle school, and you want to help the kids out, and you're thinking.
Yeah, I went to one of the guys that like was a big diplomacy player here in my hometown. But he doesn't travel. Paul Cunningham. He's a game designer, and he made some little travel boards for me that folded up. And one of his sons I taught to play, or his son I taught to play, and his son's best friend, this guy, his father has a 3D printer, so he 3D printed all these pieces.
Oh, my God.
So we could make these little travel boards, and I went and, you know, scheduled it with the principal and everything so they wouldn't think I was a crazy person. And mm-hmm. I got the science room at school, and we had 21 people show up the first week.
Wow. When was this?
I did this about a month ago. It was the first meeting. We've had two meetings.
Wow.
And out of 21, 9 of them were girls. I couldn't believe it.
Yes.
And
did the staff or like the faculty there, I guess is what I mean, did they somehow encourage, like did they go around and like try and convince the kids to do this, or did they just like, if you build it, they will come, fill the dreams kind of thing?
I just wrote a little blurb about what it was going to be, and they announced it on the, you know, morning announcements, and 21 kids showed up.
God, what did they say? That was the greatest blurb ever. There's no way.
There would be free candy and ice cream.
I know. I was a middle school. I learned to play diplomacy when I was in middle school, but there's no way that I'm like going after school to like diplomacy day if I've never.
But you know what? You didn't. You weren't in Greenfield, Ohio.
Well.
Yeah, that's true.
Well, I mean, maybe this was like pretty. I mean,
maybe this was like the Super Bowl.
I joke, but there might be something to that. Maybe mm-hmm. we're focusing on just like people, concentrations of people, and not really focusing on the very low hanging fruit of bored kids.
Yeah, well, and I'm honestly only half joking. I'm curious, like you wrote a little thing, and then just like 21 kids were like, "Yeah, this sounds awesome."
Said, you know, it's a board game. I call it the International Game of Intrigue, and you know, just it was just a very generic thing. And out of the 21 kids, one kid watched all of Eddie Bresson's videos before he came, which I was like really blown away by.
Like they announced it that morning, and by that night, he'd watched all of Eddie Bresson's
videos. By that evening, they got out at 2:50. This kid had watched all of Eddie's videos.
That is so. But
how did he do on his board?
He was doing pretty good. He wanted to play Italy, and he. He was doing all right. I think we got through the first meeting. We got through almost 3 years.
Yep,
which is pretty good because I thought it was going to be chaos when I first started the explanation because I had everybody at three boards and I thought, oh, they're gonna mutiny.
Yeah,
but they didn't, and we got things underway. And the two guys I said, the two kids that their fathers had, I played diplomacy with, they played before, so they kind of like, I put them in different boards, and they kind of helped run their boards.
Okay.
And I think pretty much everyone had a good time. I would say out of the 21, the next week we had about, I think we had 16 come back the next week, but I would say out of everything, there's probably 9 people who are hardcore into it. Which
That's
is,
pretty good,
I'm,
actually.
I'm pleased with.
Yeah. Is it like a raucous affair? Is there like a lot of like sort of screaming and giggling and jumping up and down, or is it more like everybody's locked in and trying to win?
No, everybody's trying to win.
Yeah.
You know, it got kind of raucous when I first came in, but then once they got into it and got the game,
yeah,
it got pretty serious. At the second meeting, it was a lot more serious.
Oh, man.
You time them? Are you on a timer?
Yeah, we're doing like the bar games in Chicago, 10 minutes.
Yeah.
So, interesting. Keeping it pretty fast.
Because I'm thinking a pilot program. We're just gonna send Eric to middle schools.
Yeah.
And
whatever.
Maybe try this.
Just because I never finished middle school, I still have a year of eligibility. I think. Yeah.
No, I like it. I love the story. Yeah. And so is your plan just to continue onward, or do you think you're going
to... Yeah, we're trying... Well, a guy I went to high school with, he teaches about 30 miles away in Chillicothe at a high school called Union Oto, and he has an 8th grade group there that he's been teaching for 2 years. So we eventually want to like have the kids play each other.
Yeah, stuff. I smell a showdown.
Oh yeah,
yeah,
for sure.
Some rivalry there.
Nice.
You need to have like a.
The eventual goal with that. The older guys I've been playing with here, I'm trying to do something steady with, but I'm trying to also draw some people from Columbus and have some games up there as well.
Yeah.
Because there used to be a lot of players in Columbus, but it's just hard to get them all together. Most of them maybe either quit playing or they play a lot of Euros.
Right.
Tom Haver has some people, but they really play Diplomacy maybe once a month or every other month.
Yeah.
So they play a lot of other games, too. But there used to be a few guys too up in Cleveland. I lived in Cleveland for 6 years, but I never got a Diplomacy game in up there.
So you're kind of taking it on yourself to like link up a bunch of sort of scattered groups, right?
Yeah, I'm just trying to get something going because I'd like to keep my score up.
Yeah, sure. Any specific like strategies that are working well for you in terms of just like keeping in touch with all these disparate players and disparate groups and like getting them organized?
Facebook groups and Meetup.
Yeah,
are the two best things. I started the Greenfield Area Board Game Association on Meetup and players, Ohio Diplomacy players on Facebook.
If anyone in Ohio is listening right now,
yeah,
check it out.
Yep.
I'm also going to be running a tournament in Lexington, Kentucky in April at Lexicon. It's a fairly new game convention, but it's grown pretty rapidly. This will be the fourth one.
Whoa.
And last year they had 600 people last year.
Whoa. Okay, so it's just Lexicon is a pre-existing general game convention that you're starting a Diplomacy tournament inside it?
Yeah, I just got permission yesterday from the organizers.
Hell yeah. Congratulations. That's great news. Yeah. When is Lexicon?
It's in April.
It's April 22nd through the 24th.
Okay.
It's at the Clarion Hotel in Lexington. It used to be one of those old holodomes. They remodeled, so a bunch of arcade games and crap inside, but it's a pretty nice space.
Nice.
And there's a lot of... dealers and a lot of events. It's actually a regional qualifier for Catan, so there's a lot of tournaments too. And what's really crazy, they have a pandemic tournament that's already sold out. I can't believe
it. I played that game once. That game is wait a minute, how would you do a tournament of that, because you're playing like against the game?
I don't know. Never gotten to do it. I even worked for Z-Man.
Yeah, I don't know,
for 13 years.
I'm scared about that.
The cool thing though about Lexicon at night, it's sponsored by West 6 Brewery in Lexington.
Whoa.
And they say at 10 p.m., you know, everybody underage is out. And then it becomes like, you know, an adult con.
Free beer con.
Kind of like a big party after 10 o'clock.
Nice.
That sounds pretty decent.
I'm not going to lie. Two rounds Saturday and one round Sunday, and I'm going to use the Carnage scoring system.
Because why not?
Why not?
Yeah.
I
think it's a good scoring system for new players.
That's great.
To learn on, you know.
Have you had much of a chance to think about like, are you just gonna like work hard on getting every sort of traveling hobby person to come, or are you like thinking just sort of more your Ohio people? And are there any locals in Lexington itself that you're aware of? Like, how, you know, like what kind of numbers are you expecting?
Eric
what are
Grinnell,
you aiming
Eric
for?
Eric Grinnell is from there, and his son Danny, they travel quite well. Eric travels quite a bit. I think Danny's been to a few.
Man, nobody ever knew Eric Grinnell before. All of a sudden, he's been all over our podcast for about the last three. Like, our guest
everybody
Eric
knows
Grinnell
Eric Grinnell
every time. Yeah.
Everyone knows Eric.
Yeah. Well, except that no one knows Eric, but. You know, but
he has come forward and said that he will sponsor the award, so he's going to sponsor all the plaques for the tournament. So
whoa,
it's nice of him.
That's a good start.
Yeah.
So there will be wood.
Be wood. Yeah.
Yeah.
And very nice wood.
Yeah. Yeah.
Kind of, you know, it's not going to happen the first year, but what I'm working towards is I'd like to make this like one of three events and do like a triple crown of diplomacy.
Sure. Some kind of a swaggle, we might say.
Hey, stop
hey.
It.
Sorry. Nobody else gets that joke.
Because it's not really.
And yet. There was an awkward pause.
I'll be happy if we get three boards the first year. I'll be happy.
Yeah, definitely.
If we get two boards around, I'll be happy.
But, yeah, two, three boards.
I think there'll be a lot of, you know, there'll be at least two boards of people regionally.
Sure. Yeah. So people who live nearby and people who just can't get enough diplomacy and don't have enough to do that weekend, kind of a thing, right?
There used to be a lot of players in Indiana, but I don't know what happened to those guys.
Oh,
I think they just go to Gen Con and play, and that's it.
And that's it.
Sure. Well, right. I mean,
yeah. Do you guys remember Block Party?
No.
The movie.
There used to be a national Block Party diplomacy tournament in Indiana.
That's a really good name for a tournament. I never thought.
Jim O'Kelly went once and won, and then they never had it again. I think.
Who could blame him?
Yeah, it sounds
after
like
the
Jim,
shame of that.
He went there and was like, "Oh, we're not doing this no more."
Yeah.
Or they have it and they just don't let anybody know.
Yeah.
Like, we still want that Jim O'Kelly guy to come back.
Yeah, everybody keep this to yourself. No one's coming down from Chicago and taking our trophy.
Exactly.
We're changing the weekend. We're changing our names. We're moving the venue.
So, what's the motivator? Like, is it just because you're in Greenfield now? For, you know, various reasons, and you felt like, okay, well, this is what I'm going to do? Or was there a different, or were you seeing something
A little bit of that, and a little bit of, you know, like, diplomacy has been really good to me. I met a lot of cool people and made friends, and I've played a lot, so I figure I should probably do something to get back to the hobby.
Huh. That's actually great. I was mostly doing that for Eric, who does this podcast, and...
That's about it. That's all I do.
But yeah, I wanted to make sure that we're getting your kudos for doing this because, you know, it takes a special someone to do it.
It got really real in here all of a
sudden. Well, I used to run Buckeye Game Fest, but I only did it once myself and then quit doing it. And then I moved up to Chicago. And that's a shame because that's a pretty good little small convention that the Columbus Area Wargaming Society has. It's about 400 or 500 people in a hotel, and they have dealers, and they have a big silent auction that's fun. That would be a good one to maybe someday work towards.
Well, I'm interested to know. Yeah, I'm interested to know whether, like, there's sort of a mixed history of holding diplomacy tournaments inside of game conventions. I've been to some, like, we used to have one here in Seattle, and it was actually pretty good. I went to WBC, not WDC, World Board Game Convention, and wherever it is in Virginia, when it was DIPCOM that year, and that seemed fine and kind of interesting, too, and you did occasionally. But I've also been to a couple where, like, it's hard to keep the people around, and they're not that interested, and they're like, oh, there's another diplomacy game. I'm going to go play Magic or whatever. And so there's, like, sort of a different set of challenges. Like, sometimes people LARP in your game area, and that's awkward. So,
This thing does have a vampire LARP, so I'm hoping that...
Hopefully
no one gets...
You're going to get Eric to go.
Well, yeah, right, exactly. I'll get my old gear out.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, I didn't have gear.
Of course you had gear. You had probably fake teeth or something.
I didn't. I did not.
No. You.
I did not.
You.
I'll never forget. I was at a diplomacy tournament that was also at a small game convention, and they had a big vampire game going on. And I played the symbol for Obfuscate, where you put your hands on your chest. You know that one?
Supposed
to be invisible.
Oh,
yeah,
that's exciting.
I played.
Yeah.
I played. I'll admit it.
Nice.
I did it a handful of times.
Nice.
But, and I walked by this guy, and he said, "I attack you with the crossbow." And I wasn't even in the game, but I just went with it. And then I walked out of the building, so I was going somewhere, and I came back later, and he saw me, and he was enraged that I wasted his time and pretended that I was in the game. And I'm like, you know, that's all I could do to keep laughing at his face the whole time.
Oh, I have to remember that next time I'm on a board with Nate Gaggle. I attack you with a crossbow.
Eric and I do that obfuscate every once in a while. We'll just be like, hey, there you go.
Yeah, and the dominate.
I'm invisible.
finger on the forehead.
Yeah, to dominate.
Oh wow, this interview has kind of jumped the shark.
I hope that you know, being at a convention, I hope maybe we'll pick up some new people.
Yeah.
You know, I think this is a big enough convention that, you know, we don't have to worry about if people hear about it, they're going to come for the diplomacy. Maybe we'll get a few stragglers. That's good. It's always good to have some cannon fodder. You know what I'm saying?
No. We don't know what you're saying. And if you live in the Kentucky area and are planning on going to a tournament, you are not cannon fodder. You are a unique and special snowflake that I hope attends this tournament.
Exactly.
And,
but I mean,
dominates.
It showing people that the game is being played and the people that for somehow don't know about it. They see it, and the people that have played it in the past but think no one plays anymore, just seeing people play, it's a good thing. So, like, I don't enjoy playing tournaments at gaming conventions, but I've always been a big advocate for them for that very reason. It's good advertising.
Brings people in, for sure.
It's also, you know,
we have some Seattle people that, like, are still playing, like, are still coming to tournaments around here years later that picked us up at Dragonflight.
Yeah, that's true.
There's no question about that.
Like, oh, yeah.
There's four or five that I can think of that, like,
the Dragonflight
joined up with us 15
Dragonflight's
years ago.
Yeah, Dragonflight's still going on, right? That's still...
I think it does still go on.
Yeah.
The diplomacy tournament no longer goes along.
No, but I mean, the convention itself is still on.
Now that I said that out loud, maybe we have to just start it again.
I like how you say in we. Yeah. There's no we on this one.
By which I mean not either of us.
I ran a tournament for a decade. I'm good.
Yeah.
I'm good for a while.
You're guaranteed a break, right?
I'm going to enjoy this break.
Nate Cockrell came to the wake for that tournament,
yeah, he did.
As I recall.
Yeah, he was there.
I did. Yeah.
The roast.
That was a good time.
That was
a really good time. We had a great time. That roast was
a limousine from a limo to the venue.
Well, as you should have, because we were gonna go and see that Elvis impersonator. Mm-hmm. So
you were big that night, is why.
Yeah,
you were big time.
Everybody was big time that night. We all, I think, I have a scarf from that guy.
Nice.
Anyway, what else do you want to tell us, Nate? While we have you on the phone, any thoughts? Any other things you want to chat about?
I'm getting ready to return to performing.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
That's exciting.
I'm going to be doing an improv show in Columbus, Ohio next month. I haven't got the date finalized yet, but there's a bunch of guys I used to perform with in Second City that are coming back around New Year's, so we're going to get together and do a show.
Oh, my God.
And I've been working with a couple guys that wrote some comedy back in the day, and they said they wanted to do a podcast, but I got a buddy who's got a recording studio, so I think we might work towards a comedy album.
Ooh. Oh, that'd be fun. Okay.
Like some sketches and stuff.
Okay.
Like, you know.
Well, we'll see. Pretty funny, so you can have us on your comedy podcast if you do it.
Yeah.
On our podcast.
We're hilarious. So,
super funny. Yes.
I don't know, every comedian has their own podcast now, so I don't know. If
I
do an album and it works, maybe we'll do an album, but I don't know. Plus, where I am, could I get enough guests? You know?
Yeah, well,
I could probably get a lot of Second City people.
And a lot of diplomacy people that think they're funny.
Yeah.
Yeah, between those two, that'll get you 10 episodes right there.
Yeah. You'd be surprised, like, once you start doing these, they sort of, like, have a life of their own. And you just find yourself doing more and more of them.
Yeah.
This is episode 39.
Did you find it hard when you first started to get guests? Or did...
No, because diplomacy people love to talk about themselves.
Oh, my gosh.
And be wise as far as...
We've had more than 40 guests on this.
It's harder now.
It's a little, only because we don't want to repeat ourselves.
Yeah.
Right.
We have had some... Obviously, we have some repeats when we do tournament winners... Because Chris Martin wins everything.
So he has to come on the show
every other episode.
Have you guys ever had Larry Peary?
No. Not yet. He's on the list when we... he's on a list. He's definitely on a list.
If you get him, you got to ask him about his board game he invented called Get Kissinger.
Okay.
I don't know if you ever heard that story.
Don't ruin it for me.
No, seriously, I really, like, I don't want to Google it. I don't want anyone to tell me the story. I just want to have Larry Peary on the show and ask him live and not.
Just remember that. Get Kissinger.
Okay.
It's a good story.
Okay.
I guarantee you.
I might just do that. Oh, We like to always ask our guest, and if you don't have an answer to this because we didn't prep you for it in advance, can you think of the greatest mistake that you've ever made on a diplomacy board?
And it could be it could be tactical, it could be just emotional,
diplomatic,
it could be you know, all sorts of stuff.
A great mistake. Anything come to mind?
It was 96 Worlds at Origins, which was my very first tournament, too.
Mm-hmm.
I had a decent game the first round, but the second morning I'd stayed up so late, I was so tired. I was England, and I got one build, and I wrote England builds Fleet Paris.
Simple, to the point.
Needless to say,
you topped the board.
Yeah.
No, you didn't top the board.
No,
yeah.
Weird.
That was so weird.
I did the old Saint Pete to the Black Sea and Sevastopol to the Gulf of Bothnia at my first tournament.
Yeah, I think. Yeah. It's good.
That was a good one. Yeah.
Probably the second biggest mistake was playing a game with John Hill.
He's just like, oh, I shouldn't have done that.
Why did I not just go home?
Why did I do that? He's a good guy.
Yeah.
He's a very passionate player. Hmm. I don't know if he plays anymore.
I haven't seen him turn out play either. I think the last time was Weasel Moot, maybe 4 or 5 years ago.
Yeah, it's been a while. Well, I'm really glad you've made time for us. I don't want to keep you up any later. Really appreciate it. Thanks for all the advice.
Thanks for having me.
Of course. And I want to just, again, really support all that you're doing.
Thanks for building the hobby, man.
It's hard, tough, and hopefully it's going to be rewarding.
I'll be calling for, advice all the time. So.
Yeah, sure. Anything we can do.
Anything we can do. Any shout-outs we can do with the podcast, you just let us know.
Yeah, so for now, Lexicon Lexicon Kentucky next April, and also the Ohio... Say again what the Facebook is.
It's Ohio Diplomacy Players.
Ohio Diplomacy Players. So if you're in Kentucky or Ohio, search for both of those things. And if you're in Greenville particularly...
There's a meetup.
Yeah. There's a Greenfield Area Board Gaming Association. There's also a Lexington Diplomacy Club meetup.
There you go. There you go.
So, listeners, tell your friends. Let's get some more people out to these events. And that's great. Thanks so much, Nate.
Thanks a lot, guys.
We'll talk to you later.